So today we're in lesson 22. We're going to talk about an anticipated response. Paul is anticipating a certain response from the Corinthians, and we're going to focus on chapter 12, verses 11 through 21 today. Okay? 11 through 21. And so let's look at verses 11 through 13, because he's going to talk about the marks of an apostle. Okay, let's look at this. I've been a fool. You forced me to it. For I ought to have been commended by you. For I was not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. The signs of a true apostle are performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. For in what were you less favored than the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not burden you? Forgive me this wrong. All right, so let's talk about apostleship. And you're saying, okay, George, I understand that, you know, when John died, that was the last apostle. Why do we need to spend time talking about apostles and that's really not an issue, is it? Well, yeah, it is. Today, especially in the United States, and even in sub-Saharan Africa, there are Christian groups where guys will emerge and proclaim themselves, are you ready for this, to be apostles. And they'll have whole groups, and some of them are not whacked out, crazy denominations. They'll say, yeah, they're apostles, okay? They're apostles. We have a major denomination, the Roman Catholic Church, that considers the Pope to be an apostle, okay? Just being very honest with you, from the line of Peter, all right? So let's take a look here at what he's saying. So it's very interesting that we need to understand what these apostles can do and what was their attitude and so forth. And we see this through Paul's life here, okay? So the marks of an apostle. So first of all, he's going to talk again about his boasting. Remember, he boasted in the last lesson, the first part of chapter 12, about being taken up to the third heaven, seeing things he shouldn't see, and then he boasted about his weakness, because there was given to him a what? A thorn in the flesh to humble him. All right, so first of all, Paul tells them that they are responsible for his foolish boasting. So they're the reasons why he had to do this. He considers boasting to be foolish. So he's saying, you guys are the reason why I had to do this. Like, and his attitude is almost like, did I really need to do this? You already know who I am. You already know who I am, what I am, and what I have done among you. And so I've had to tell you these things and boast about these things to set myself aside from, if you notice what the text says, super apostles, okay? So they should have recognized that he was equal to the other apostles. They should have known this. They should have known that he was equal to the other. Now, when we talk about other apostles, we're talking about the 12, right? Peter, all of the other apostles, the disciples who became apostles and so forth. He was equal to all of them. He proved his apostleship by performing miraculous signs among them. This is how they knew that he was an apostle, because he could do things performing these miraculous signs, and that set him apart from other people. Now, what do you mean by miraculous signs, George? Well, of course, healings, casting out demons, we've seen that. Here's some other ones. To those who were opposed to the gospel, he communicated the word. Remember the guy when he's before the proconsul, and this Jew guy is interfering, and Paul rebukes him, and the guy goes blind. Boom, like that. Now, have you done that? Have you been like irritated with a clerk and just kind of spoke the word, you're blind? Now, nobody, we can't do that. Do you know of any pastor that can do that? No. This is set, he's setting himself apart from everyone else. He's got this ability to do this, and he's not using it frivolously. Do you understand? He's not using it frivolously, but this is what the apostles could do, and it was like setting their authority. It's interesting to me, when you go to 3 John, the Apostle John talks about a guy by the name of Diotrephes who's causing problems. And John says, I'm going to come and I'll deal with him. Now, John's 90 years old. And if you're the big boss in a church, are you worried about a 90-year-old guy showing up and saying he's going to deal with you? Not really. But maybe if he was an apostle, right? That would be scary, right? He's going to come and deal with me. Do you know what I'm saying? Because he has the spiritual ability that was given to him to do signs and wonders. Now, the only difference between Paul and the other apostles was that he refused to burden them. That's the only difference. Unlike the other apostles, he didn't burden them. Now, do you understand what he means by burden? What do you think he means by that? Yeah, money or support, okay? Yeah, because he's listed in another letter what the apostles were allowed to have. They could have a wife with them, and their wife would be taken care of by the church. You know, they had certain things that were established among the churches that when the apostles showed up, we were to do this. We were to take care of them. But Paul decided he wasn't going to do that. Remember, that's been the accusation against him. You're not an apostle. Why? Because you won't take our money. Crazy thought, isn't it? But Paul says, look, I just haven't burdened you. I didn't want to burden you, okay? I didn't want to burden you at all. And so these are the marks of an apostle, okay? Now, that has relevance, I think, today, right? How does that have relevance today? Because I already told you there are some people out there who claim to be apostles. I even heard some in very conservative Christian circles flirting with the idea of apostleship. And so the question is, what can we learn from this passage that will help us to discern? And it's not possible. What can we learn? All right, they don't have this a power or ability in God's power that the apostles had. Okay. Yeah, and they haven't seen Christ. Now remember, in 1 Corinthians, he said he was one of those who saw Christ. And if you remember from Acts, when they chose the replacement for Judas, that was one of the prerequisites that they had seen who? The risen Christ and been with Christ from the beginning. Now Paul's special because God chose him specifically so that he would be an apostle to who? Gentiles. Okay? So when you hear somebody saying that they're an apostle or an apostle-like, you know that can't be true. Not today, okay? Not today. All right, let's go on. Look with me at verses 14 now through 18. He's going to expand upon this whole issue of refusing to be a burden to them. Okay, so look what he says. Here for the third time, I am ready to come to you. And I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, I am to be loved less. But granting that I myself did not burden you, I was crafty, you say, and got the better of you by deceit. Did I take advantage of you through any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus to go and sent the brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not act in the same spirit? Did we not take the same steps? All right, so listen to what he's saying here. Okay, so he's talking about, He wants to come and see them. So here it is. Paul told him he was ready to come to them for a third visit. So he's ready to come to them for a third visit, a third trip. Now remember, he's the one who established the church, okay? He's the one who established the church, so he's wanting to come to them for a third visit. He stated that he will not burden them for support. So he's already starting off at the top. I'm not going to be asking anything of you. Just right off the top, I'm just going to let you know, I'm not going to burden you guys, all right? He pointed out that no parent would burden his children. So this is a general principle. I think we understand that even in our culture today, no parent wants to be a burden to what? His kids. Okay? And he says, I'm a parent. I'm your parent. I'm your spiritual father. I don't want to be a burden to you guys. Just like a normal parent would not want to be burdening his children. So he points out that he would give of himself for their needs. Paul says, rather than be a burden on you, I would rather give of myself. I would rather do anything for you. And we've seen that. That's his testimony. That's how he is as a person. So some of the Corinthians thought that Paul was merely tricking them by his actions. Look at what he says there, okay? He says, verse 16, but granting that I myself did not burden you, I was crafty, you say, and got the better of you by deceit. Somebody's been really putting some serious stuff in their brains if they're thinking that. Did you understand what I'm saying? Somebody is really, really twisting words. Here's a guy who's coming, who's purposing not to be a burden, who wants to see their spiritual growth. He actually established the church. And somebody has twisted their mind to think, well, he's doing it all to deceive them, to get advantage of them. Okay? This is where the Corinthians are at. Is that a good place to be in? Well, actually, what I think it is, you're right. To what end? I think that they are repeating what people are lying to them about who are threatened by Paul. So meaning these other, quote, traveling evangelists, apostles who show up, and they're like, man, don't you know Paul? You know, Paul was great. You know what I'm saying? Paul did this. Paul didn't do that. Well, they've got to justify themselves because, unlike Paul, they are asking for something. Unlike Paul, they're wanting something from the others. And so they've got to discredit Paul and his authority so that they continue doing what they're doing. It's interesting. I have a little book, a pamphlet I read every once in a while. It's called the Didache. And it is the teachings of the apostle. It was written around the time of these epistles being written. It was a set of kind of guidelines for the churches written by the apostles. Okay? And in it, it says, it's not scripture. So first of all, don't say, oh, is this an extra Bible book? No, it's not scripture. It's just guidelines for the churches back there in the early church. And one of them said, if a guy shows up to minister in your church, if he's still there after 3 days, kick him out. His motives are wrong. So that's what the apostles were teaching the churches. Like, don't listen to somebody who's there longer than 3 days. He's there trying to take advantage. Now, isn't that interesting? So this was obviously a problem back then. And so these guys who showed up, they're trying to take advantage, so they got to discredit who? Paul. And the stuff they're saying, look, Paul started their church. He was there. Healings took place. He taught them. He established them. He left. And they're like, these people are trying to discredit him with this crazy stuff. Well, he won't take your money. He must not be a good guy. Okay. Okay, well, maybe that's what they were thinking, Tim. Yeah, so maybe that's what they're thinking. But the problem is, I think even though we're in a different culture 2,000 years later, I think basic human instinct tells you that something's wrong if people are trying to say to you, they must be wrong because they won't take your stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's just craziness. So he's trying to, again, establish himself here. So he pointed to the fact that he and others sent by him had not taken advantage. So he's like, okay, so quote, we're doing this to trick you, to take advantage of you? Hey, I've sent Titus. I've sent others in my name. Did they take advantage of you? Well, Paul already knows the answer. No. No, not at all. Nobody's trying to take advantage of you. We're just ministering to you. We want you to grow. We want you to mature in Christ. Now, let's look at verse 19 to 21. 19 to 21. Here's the true motive now, Paul is saying, for boasting. Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ and all of your upbuilding, beloved. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, that you may find me not as you wish, and that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who've sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, the sexual immorality, and the sensuality that they have practiced. Okay, so what's he talking about here? All right, so let's, first of all, he's going to bring up this whole issue of boasting and the purpose of boasting. So Paul's purpose for boasting was their spiritual growth. So when he's talking about boasting here, he's talking about the boasting he just did in the earlier part of the chapter. So his whole reason for bringing that up, and remember, he already told you, he didn't even want to address it. He talked about it like, I know a man. Well, the man is him. And he saw things that are not lawful to speak. So he's trying to convey to them, I'm just not some nobody who shows up and acts like he's a teacher. And the reason why I boasted is to help you to understand who I am, and it's for your spiritual growth. It's for you. That's the motive why he's doing it. So he feared that he would find that they have not changed. So when he comes, he's afraid that they haven't matured, that they haven't changed, that they're still doing all this crazy stuff, listening to all these other crazy teachers who've come their way. He's afraid that they haven't changed. He's afraid that when he shows up, they're not going to be in a better place. Not going to be in a better place. Let me just stop for a moment. I think that is a legitimate concern even for us today. One of the things that disheartens me, because I'm a believer now, it's going to be 40 years next April, is every once in a while I go places and I meet people and I remember the way they were when I last saw them. Some of them, it is a couple of decades or more. And the most disheartening thing for me when I connect with them is that they haven't matured spiritually. In fact, even more disheartening is to realize they've digressed. You ever met somebody who spiritually has digressed? They've gone backwards? So this is what Paul's saying. He said, I'm concerned that when I show up, I'm going to find out you guys haven't changed. You haven't grown. You haven't matured. So, in fact, he's concerned that what he's going to find is, look at what he says here. I'm concerned I'm going to find quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. Now, those words I just described to you, what kind of church atmosphere are we talking about when we have these kind of things going on? Is it a peaceful place? No, it's a place where people have what? Attitude towards each other, right? That's what he's concerned he's going to find. So he also feared that they would not change in their view of him. So he's concerned that they've been listening to these lies so much, which they should know better, that they haven't changed in their view of him. They haven't changed. So again, he feared that they would be marked by sin, and I just listed those sins. You know, so let me just kind of say this. I find it interesting. The testimony of a church is not how many people show up. That's not the testimony of a church. How many people are in attendance? Because attendance can cover up a whole lot of stuff. The testimony of a church isn't the attendance, it's rather the atmosphere. What do you mean? It's the spirit in a church. And if you have a church where there's, let me read the list, quarreling, jealousies, anger, hostility, slander. You know what slander is, right? That's saying something about somebody else that's not necessarily right. Gossip, we all know what gossip is. Conceit and disorder. Is that a healthy church? Now, I've been in big churches that have had this going on. That just because they had the numbers didn't mean that they were in the right place, right? So if you have a church that has got these evident things evident in the midst of their people, they're not in the right place. They're not in a good place. What he's saying here is that he's concerned that they haven't grown, that they're not what they should be. And I think, to be honest with you, we want to reach people, we want to touch as many lives as possible, and that will always be our focus. But our greater focus is that as a church, I'm talking about us now, that we would be the people that God wants us to be, to have the right spirit with each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? To have the right spirit. I just had somebody give me a testimony this week. I had breakfast with a guy, and he said to me, man, when I came in, I just sensed an energy, a presence. Yeah, the presence of God. That's an awesome testimony. And he said, and the people were so kind. That's a great testimony. Do you know what I'm saying? That was a great testimony. So this is what we need to be. And I mean, the Corinthians should be there, but the problem is they're listening to who? Everybody else. Everybody else who's trying to get them away from what they should be doing. So here it is. Paul was grieved at the prospect of having to exercise discipline among them. He was grieved at the thought that he was going to have to come and set things right. Now, can you relate? Can you understand what he's feeling here? Do you know what I'm saying? Can you understand? Like, you go to a family gathering. When you go to a family gathering, it's always great to have fun with family, right? But if you have to go and settle some things, man, don't we dread that? Do you know what I'm saying? And that's not what we're, you know, it's like, man, we shouldn't have to do that, but sometimes you have to, right? Paul's the same way. He's like, man, I want to show up, but I don't want to show up if I've got to deal with some stuff. And remember, when we talk about him dealing with some stuff, We're talking about an apostle dealing with some stuff. Like, what do you mean, George? Hey, remember Ananias and Sapphira? When they appeared before the apostle, here's our gift. We're giving you all that we have. And Peter says, why would you lie to the Holy Spirit? It was yours. You could give whatever you want for it. Why would you lie to the Holy Spirit and saying you're giving all of it when you're keeping back part of it? And boom, the guy drops dead. Acts chapter 5. Guy drops dead. Later, the wife comes in and I said, oh, your husband gave a gift. Is that what it, oh, that's what it is. You're lying like your husband. Boom, she drops dead. And then notice what the passage says afterwards. Great fear gripped the church. Well, yeah, it would, wouldn't it? It would. You know what I'm saying? And so he's saying he's grieved at the prospect of having to discipline among them. Listen, I can almost guarantee you, Paul showing up there, he's going to know who it was that stirred things up. He's going to know who it was. Probably he's already gotten the reports. He's going to know who it was that was deceiving them, and he's going to address it. And then he's going to show that there is a difference between him who is an apostle and the other guy who's maybe claiming to be an apostle, you know? All right, we're at the end. Next week, we're going to look at his farewells that he does in the letter.